Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints talk from our studios at the Meat House. With me today, Craig Wright, Dale Mims, and our old friend, Tomas Mauricio, sitting in as a guest today. So all of you Saints fans, border to border, coast to coast, grab a drink, sit back, and relax, because the next hour or so, we're going to be doing New Orleans Saints football talk, BS and beer style. Matter of fact, we're also going to do it sports talk with friends. Fellas, for many years, with this podcast, Tomas, 8 years, and yes, we've been on the radio for about five of them.
Yes,
this year, we kind of made a decision that, I don't know, the future isn't really terrestrial radio anymore. It's podcasting and internet. And so we've partnered with these guys, Sports Talk with Friends. Look them up on Facebook. Come join the fun. Saints fans, fans of all kinds of sports. It's always interesting. And they're our new partners, and we're enjoying our new relationship with them. Anyway, Dale, take it away. Give us the news.
Yes, sir. Like the Saints versus the Chargers. We actually got to see the starting unit out there. So
for 30 seconds.
Look, they look good. I'm feeling good about it. This is what preseason football should look like. Okay? Give you some optimism. Give you some hope.
Oh, you want to see first-round picks get hurt for maybe the season, and that's what you want to see in the preseason?
Oh. Okay, so that's the downside of preseason.
I mean, that's what you see. You said this is what you want to see, and my favorite player for the whole damn year just went down for maybe till Thanksgiving. So I want to hear what you're excited about.
That's the Craig, what is that, Tomas, his medical opinion. I mean, I've heard things like he's going to miss the entire season, but I want to believe in Craig. I want to believe that, you know, give it 6-8 weeks, because that's the first thing I heard was 4 to 6 weeks. But now I'm hearing a season ending.
Well, yeah, but it's different because originally we heard it was just a sprain.
Right.
We said a turf toe sprain. Well, that's usually, there's nothing for it. They give you a bunch of Tylenol and ice and tell you, hang back for 4 to 6 weeks and it'll get better. But this is different. This is a torn ligament. So actually it's better, I think, because, you know, like they always say, if you sprain a muscle, it takes a long time to heal. You break a bone, you know, heals a lot quicker. So I think if they go in there and do the surgery quickly, we could see them, you know, by the middle of the season. I don't see it any sooner than that, but middle of the season is better than no season.
Yeah, I'm with Tomas. Is that one of the things that sticks out is that he finished the drive after getting hurt. He didn't get hurt on that touchdown. He got hurt at least two plays earlier. And not only did he keep playing, blocked the guys, got into the end zone. We scored a touchdown on a running play that doesn't happen if the backside can't block anybody. And he, you know, you see him on the field. He's on his knees, hands in the air, touchdown. And then they check him like, oh, hey, by the way, you're hurt real bad. That's a tough guy, and a tough guy you cannot keep off the field. So I know, I understand it's a serious injury. I know he's hurt. I know he's going to miss some time, but I don't think he's missing the whole season. I think Thanksgiving, give or take, when we're making our real playoff push, we're going to have that extra help.
Yeah,
I give you guys some analysis here. For someone who's drank as much as you and was slurring, so I almost considered not doing the show. You are holding it together nicely, Craig. I'm impressed.
Sir, this is the BS and Beer Network, and I am on a show called The Beer Run. Beer is part of my daily preparation for this show. I'm upset that you guys are slurring as much as you are. frankly.
Well, I saw some shots of bourbon too, so that might tie into Tomas's podcast as well. So,
yes.
Premiere coming up. Yep.
We've been hearing that for a while, but we're looking forward to
get
it.
Get your bourbon ready. We have an excuse to drink it pretty soon.
It's coming soon. All right. But yeah, let's start off with that. Craig, what are you drinking, sir?
I am drinking the Andy Gator from Abita Brewing Company. It is 8% alcohol. This is my sixth of the day because we had a fantasy football podcast before this. And I hate fantasy, so I had to drink my way through it. It is delightful. It is ridiculous. If we were on the beer run, I would tell you all about it. But this is the BS and Beer podcast, and I will not bother you with such details.
Hey, we're under new management, so we're going to talk about beer on the BS and Beer podcast.
Oh, it's damn good beer, though. It's damn good beer. I wish I had more than six of them. It is going down way smoother than 8% should be. And God bless all of you. I'm drinking for everybody else on the show. So if I'm the only one who's slurring a little bit, then you're welcome.
Tomas, I loosen up the grip a little bit and delegate some authority, and now they just taking over. It's I'm like, no, that's not how we do
cheers,
that.
Cheers, Dave. Cheers.
Dave, what happened, brother?
I'm telling you, step away. They were like, no, Dave, just sit down and relax a little bit, buddy. We got it. No problems. No, it'd be everything's going to be fine.
Well, in keeping with the premiere that's coming, I, of course, am also doing a little bourbon.
There you go.
So,
nothing like drinking? What bourbon are we drinking?
We're drinking Woodford Reserve.
Nice.
Oh, that's delicious. Nice. What a fine bourbon that is, too.
Yes. It's just lovely. The taste is right on point. You know, nice and smooth, no burning. Mm. You know, not like any of these cheap bourbons, you know. But
okay.
But we'll be talking
easy.
Bourbon.
Leave my cheap bourbons alone. All right.
Well, you know,
let's leave them out of this.
I was young once and didn't have any money. I understand how it works.
Oh, boy.
When you get my age, you know, I don't eat cheap. I don't drink cheap. Sorry.
Yeah. You know? I gotta enjoy life.
Tomas, you're about 35. What is this old age you're talking about? Yeah, when I'm 35, I'll have the same opinions right there.
Yeah, you better get them under control, Dale.
Woo! Okay.
All right. Well, I am drinking a hard lemonade from Lux Springs over in Austin, Texas.
And I think it's hilarious that we have a 12-year-old girl on this show. I always think it's impressive. And I'm glad that we're as forward-thinking as we are.
We're all inclusive here. All right.
Yeah, all inclusive of having 12-year-old girls. Yeah, it's a good thing we're not the Bills because we'd have a punter on this show causing some trouble.
Oh, my goodness.
Here we go. Oh, is that too soon?
Don't get him started on that one.
All right.
Okay, back to the Saints. Okay, now we played the game versus the Chargers. Offense came out, went right down the field, scored, looked good. Jameis looked amazing. All right, he took a shot still, but he got right up. Like we said, Penning got hurt on the first drive, but he did finish the drive. The defense came out. They stopped them cold. I mean, this is what I wanted to see from the Saints. They were as advertised early on in the game. Am I right, guys?
Yeah, I don't know how you could say it's wrong. It's the predicament that we talk about all the time. You got to get out there. You got to knock the rust off. You got to get a hit. You got to take a hit. You got to all those things. But you know, it's hard. The pinning thing is. Look, I don't know. It started off as like, well, listen, we don't expect him to start. Then it's right. The first game. It was pretty tough. It was rough. And then he showed a lot of improvement, which if you remember, we all kind of expected it. I was laughing at some of the stuff and I'm like, I have no concern. He was so dominant in the run game. Yeah. It's only a matter of time before he just had to pick up the little things and tighten up his game and getting to the flow of the pass blocking portion of it. And then all of a sudden he's getting those reps and you were thinking that maybe game one, you might as well throw him in there. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I guess all I'm saying is there's a part of me that's disappointed. There's a part of me that now just hopes that he gets back before the end of the season so that he can continue to develop so that he's not going into next season the same way that the same guy he is now. You understand
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
I want him to be the same guy plus a bunch more ready to be the starter next year.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing right now about this injury because he was improving from week to week. And with him, you know, being hurt, not being able to improve like that, that it's a big blow, I think, to him. So
the chair recognizes Craig.
So Dale, as you were saying, I agree that it's a big deal for him developmentally. It's not a big deal for the Saints. And the reason that is that even with him developing and with him being the dominant run blocker that he is and him improving the way that he has, none of us expected him to start week one. Right? James Hurst was going to be the guy week one. Like, we knew that. We planned on that. He's come, you know, his injury was very much a precautionary thing. He could have been playing today if this was regular season. The reason he was kept out is because it was planning for week one. So Hurst is going to play week one at left tackle. We plan for this. You know, Penning was very much a developmental guy in the first place. You know, it sucks that he's not going to get those reps. But I don't think anyone was counting on him to play right away. I know I wasn't, and I'm the biggest fan of his, you'll find. We wanted to have Hurst start the season. We want Penning to learn and grow, and maybe by the playoffs he's the guy. And that hasn't really changed. Hurst is going to start. Penning's going to be on IR. He's going to keep working what he can. He's going to keep lifting. He's going to keep watching film. He's going to keep developing as a professional football player, and he's going to be the guy in 2023. If he contributes at all this year, that's great. But you don't draft a guy in the first round to be a guy immediate. You draft a guy to be your player for the next 10 years, and he's still in position to do that.
Yeah. Well, I will say I was looking forward to some immediate contribution from Penning and Olave, because that's what I expect from a first round pick. But I look, injuries.
Would you rather a good freshman year, a good rookie year, or a good player for 10 years? Because I think we drafted a good player for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I really hope you're right about that. Because
no, that would make that was the question. Would you rather have someone flash as a rookie?
Of course, you fizzle out,
or do you want to have someone who's going to be a good year for a decade? And this guy is set up to be good for a decade.
Yeah.
Tomas, what do you think?
Oh, the chair recognizes Tomas. Well, Dale, how did you lose control of all of this, dude? Come on.
Dale, you gonna have to tighten it up, man.
We got big ugly cages on this show. You know, we have to have some authority.
All right. Well, hold on. So here's what I'm gonna say. Dale, I understand what you're saying about having the first round picks contribute immediately. However, that's only true if your team sucks like Atlanta. Okay. But we, you know, when you look at the Saints today, look at the roster. If it weren't for injuries, we're basically the same roster we were last year. There's not a lot of change. There's not a lot of change. Yeah, our backups are that. I mean, Dalton is, leap years ahead.
Massive upgrade.
Right? So that's true. But we're a team that is already at a high point. So as Craig says, we're drafting players now for long term. We're not drafting players for immediate gratification.
The argument that I would make to that, though, is we can have them both. We can have a guy that, like, he was great his rookie year and lasted 10 years. So, I mean, not. Well, I'm going for C. Year, I pick C.
I mean, but the rookie year, that's a tough pill to swallow right there. That's a lot.
But Dave, the rookie year is not the first game. So I don't presume that Olave is going to be the same Olave at the beginning of the season as he will be at the end of the season. And I would say the same thing for Penning and for really all of our draft choices. I think Penning is still going to be learning. You know, he'll have the surgery. He's a tough SOB. So I'm presuming he's going to be out there trying to do what he can with a boot on.
See, the difference between an Olave and a Penning is Olave could play and contribute. When you're just starting left tackle, there is no, like, you know, let's just ease him in there, give him a few plays here and there, you know.
Starting left tackle.
No, and that's what I'm agreeing with you guys. I simply mean, hey, you know, sometimes you get a guy that you can throw in there. They struggle a little bit early. They get better. And by the end of their rookie year, but I get it. He wasn't going to start.
As we discussed on the Big Ugly Podcast, a receiver can fail five times in a row and no one will notice. But if an offensive lineman fails once in the first five sets, everybody notices.
Yeah.
So
especially as a left tackle.
Penning, especially as the blindside tackle right there. So a guy like Penning needs his time to recover. He needs his time to practice. I would expect late in this season, he's going to be the sixth lineman that we bring in.
Jumbo.
Yeah, jumbo. The jumbo set. Specifically that tech eligible spot. I could see him putting motion on that Taysom QB power.
Yeah.
And, oh, goodness, that could be mean and nasty and scary. And that'll be right around playoff time, too, because we will have – looking at this roster, we're going to be in the playoff picture. I have no doubt in my mind, looking at what happens to Tampa, looking at the division, we will be in that picture for sure. I'm not even entertaining anything else. If you have anything else to say, don't tell it to me because it's nonsense. We're going to be in that playoff picture, and when he comes back, he'll be joining a playoff-caliber roster, and I can't wait for it.
I for one, I complimented Craig, but anybody else getting a sense the wheels are coming off the wagon a little bit? That all that bourbon's catching up, it struggles just a little bit. You can tell.
This is not the BS and Water podcast, all right? So blame Dave for the naming convention.
Hey, we're sending a big shout out to our new partners over at Sports Talk with Friends. We're going to be teaming up with them to bring you some different personalities and points of view. This season is going to be a lot of fun, so go over to their Facebook group, check them out, Sports Talk with Friends.
All right, Dale.
Well, Tomas, tell me, how you feel about Hurst as the left tackle? I mean, you have a lot of confidence in him?
Yes, he's experienced. As Dave says, you know, I don't know how many times Dave and I talked about the difference between a person without experience and an experienced veteran playing a position. Hurst is a good left tackle, okay? He may not be, you know, the star of the world, but he's a good, solid left tackle. And so I have every faith in him. Plus, Jameis is not exactly, you know, a mannequin standing back there. He can move around as he did in this last game. So, no, I have confidence in him. I have confidence. I will tell you this. I even have confidence in Ruiz. Because if you look at Ruiz as he played this last game, he showed a lot of good stuff there. You know, now, I of course, will default, obviously, to Craig, who's the real offensive line guru here. But
it's tough. Ruiz looked really good, but Ruiz is in between McCoy and Ramczyk.
Yeah.
So it's hard to look bad as Ruiz. The fact that he has the last couple of seasons is really standout, you know, point of contention.
But what I'm saying is, if you look at this last game, and, you know, what's his name? Baldinger, right? He came out with a couple of tapes as well. It's obvious that Ruiz has really caught on much better than he has in the last time he's been out. So we
talked about this on the Bear Run, and that Ruiz is really catching on to the Jari Evans mold.
Yeah.
When he came in as the assistant coach, everything is more aggressive. Everything is driving guys. We've seen more penalties come up. We've seen more aggressiveness. And, you know, penalties will be a part of that. But you see that guys are finishing blocks. People are putting guys on the ground. Not just Penning before he got hurt, but Ruiz is finishing blocks. And that is not something he's used to doing. He's used to being very much more a shield guys from the lane and, you know, situational kind of guy, you know, which is not a bad way of being. But he's finishing blocks, which is the best you can hope for. And you look at guys like Ramczyk, who are all pros, and Pete, who is a Pro Bowler. And if we can be okay, not great, not fantastic, not good, okay at left tackle, this O-line will be fine. If this O-line's fine, this offense cooks.
Yes, I agree.
Dave, you think Hurst can be okay at left tackle?
Yeah.
Hurst can be okay. My concern with Hurst is run blocking. He's a much better pass blocker than a run blocker. Running to the left side last year was real hard, but that does include Pete being out, and Pete's a great run blocker. So, you know, a lot of the negative stats you want to put on Hurst last season are actually kind of on Pete because Pete wasn't there. Hurst is better at pass blocking. He's not as great at run blocking. If you have Pete there, if you have Hurst there, if you have McCoy in the middle, it doesn't dictate to the defense where you're going to run. You can still run left. You can still run right. We have a great all league, wonderful running back in Alvin Kamara. You have multiple receiving threats. You have enough threats that you don't need a line that can block for you for a 7-step drop. You do not ever need a 7-step drop with this offense, right? You have Hardy going deep. You have Callaway. You have Olave. You're good.
You can get the ball out.
Okay. Dave?
Really? Really? You think there's some meat left on that bone right there?
I was getting the wrap it up sign. I thought I had to finish. I had a couple points to make, but it looks like we had some meat on that. All right. Dave, what did you have to say?
No, I mean, anything I had to say already got said. So anyway, let's move on to something else besides offensive line talk, which seems to always turn into a long segment with Craig.
Well, what about the defense here? We saw DeMario Davis get in for a sack. That was really good to see. Did we see any improvement from the defensive line as a whole here, Dave?
No. Here's the thing. Craig, you hush. No. You just be quiet. Mute him, please. Here's the thing. It's preseason. Preseason is only for the evaluation of players. When I hear people talking about, did we improve this? Unless you have Jordan, you have Onyemata, and I know in this game we did, but the point is that what you're seeing is not what you're going to see in the regular season. We're going to get a lot more of what we saw this week on Friday come game one. What we've seen, what we saw this past season in what year are we in now? 2000. So in 21, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see more of that. It might be a little bit better, a little bit worse, but we're going to see a dominant run defense. We're going to see a team that can stifle all these average offenses. And now it's just a matter of seeing how much better, particularly the safeties got, because that's where the biggest difference in our defense is going to be, is how the safeties, how effective they are. And two, Adebo, did he really make, because boy, you want to believe all this training camp talk and the things that we saw, but it's still preseason. If he gets on the field and is actually as good as he's been reported to be the entire offseason and in camp, this defense is going to be unbelievable. And then the Saints offense, if they're oh my God, listen, I try my very best. I am a fan of the team. I've been my entire life, but as an older person, I don't get into the
homer,
all this stuff, but I cannot get any more excited about this team. Oh my God, Alvin Kamara looked amazing. The offensive line looks good. You talked about Ruiz, not to go back to offensive line. So Craig, hush. He looks to be, his body looks to be different. You see his arms look more muscular. It looks like what I always felt is that he simply wasn't strong enough. Like I felt like that was his problem, is he has athleticism. We know that he's a good offensive lineman. He just wasn't strong enough. And now maybe, hopefully, they do say, I mean, we had to cut the cord on him because the guy was a first-round draft pick in two seasons. He hasn't done well. He came in COVID. I'm making all the excuses in the world. If this guy steps up, Tomas, we have an offensive line. The offense, Olave looked great. I mean, okay, we don't have enough time to talk about all the great stuff we saw on Friday.
That's good.
We invite Tomas over here, and we haven't given him a word. Tomas, please share some thoughts with us, man.
No, I think you're right. I'm concerned. I will tell you, I think the defense is going to be fantastic. However, it's not every team that can, if you lose one safety, it's pretty tough. We lost two. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, those are the people that really have to see everything in front of them and call things. So I appreciate that Matthews is a pro, and I know he'll do great. I forgot the guy's name now.
May,
yeah. I think it's all going to work out eventually. But I'm a little leery at first to see how it's going to all work out. Eventually, I think it'll come together, and when it does, now I'm a little worried about Paulson Adebo simply because he was covering Kevin White in camp. So, I mean, I don't know if that really, that's what I understand.
He covered a lot of real receivers last season, too, and he was very good that last year.
Oh, well, I just threw that in there because, I know. We have to be careful of all of the hype, certainly, as you people pointed out about some of the people I've said in the past that were going to make the team and, be tremendous. Just remember karma. Remember I told you earlier, karma. All right. So, anyway. I think the defense is loaded for bear, and the offense, they'll have to carry the offense for a little while, I think. But we'll see.
Well, how y'all doing, Shy? It's Chef Pierre Gautreau, and I want to let you in on a little secret. That's right. This recipe's been in my family for generations, and now it's time to share it with you. Flip-flop pancake mix makes the most delicious pancakes, and it's the best thing since gumbo, yeah. You like blueberry? You like chocolate? Flip-flop pancakes has so many flavors, it's like it changes with the wind. Oh, you'll be spinning around with 180 spices and flavors. Flip-flop pancakes will have you whistling a different tune every time you eat them. So take it from me, Chef Pierre Gautreau. This gonna be the best pancake you ever eat, or I'm not crazy, yes, yeah.
Sticking on defense, we saw Wilson start at the other linebacker spot due to the injury from
Warner.
So how did he look to you guys? I mean, does he look like a starting caliber kind of linebacker here, Greg?
No.
So we need help at linebacker.
Look, I think that I think linebacker is the sneaky weak point of this team. You know, we talked about defensive tackle. We talked about offensive line. We have elite starting potential in the middle with Demario Davis. And we have potentially elite players on the outside with Pete Warner. But he, you know, we don't know how bad his injury is. We don't know how long he's going to be out. We're playing a bunch of Bostic and all these guys in the preseason. And it's like, you know, I feel like we might be fishing at straws here for that outside linebacker position. You know, Davis, I'm not worried about. He doesn't get hurt. He, you know, knock on wood. Mm-hmm. He's a hell of a player. He's the best in the league at what he does. And he's the anchor of that defense. He's the anchor of that team. If you look at his preseason, you know, his pregame speeches, everything.
Right.
He's a stud. The only really thing that worries me is outside. But in the league we're playing in, how often do you have two linebackers on the field? You have extra DBs. You have an extra safety, especially us with our three safety sets. Mm-hmm. You know, how often do you see PJ and Chauncey on the field and one linebacker? I mean, like, if you're going to stack extra linebackers, I don't know that there's value in that. You know, I liked Hanson in the preseason, but he got hurt.
Right.
I like Warner, but he's hurt. You know, it's going to be a real issue how many linebackers you keep, because how many linebackers do you really play?
Yeah, when you realize that there's only majority of the time two linebackers on the field, I'm not overly concerned with depth. We've said this 100 times. You have a great player like Demario Davis. I mean, who's going to overcome that if he were to get injured? You know, any team would have a severe drop off.
There's no depth that's going to fix that.
Right. So now it's just looking at, is there someone who can come in and stop the bleeding and play solid football until Davis returns? I had this thought the other day, and it was when Penning went down, and I started realizing, man, it's like every year it's we just got to wait 3 months. Last year's like, wait until Onyemata comes back. Wait until, you know, and I realized that it's much more part of the game now where guys will get injured. I swear back in the Dome Patrol days, back in the old school days, man, guys didn't get injured like this. Or maybe it was just different. I don't know if they were tougher, if they just played through it, or
they played hurt and they weren't very good.
Yeah, and then they had a big old bowl of Vicodin and stuff in the middle of the locker room. So all those things probably factored in. But now this is just part of being a football fan. Is in the back of your mind, you have that, oh, there's three more weeks. This guy's coming back, and then we're gonna be better. And I think that's just part of it. You just have to say, you know, we have these linebackers. We have some good linebackers. We have Warner's an up and coming linebacker. After his rookie year, I think he's going to build on that. He's a little banged up. I mean, from what I'm hearing, you know, everybody's scared to death that it's going to be that hernia. I'm hoping not. Maybe I don't want to believe it. But at the end of the day, I'm expecting him to be back. Maybe not game one, but maybe game three, you know. And that's just going to be the life of a football fan.
Yeah.
May I remind you all that one of the things that I think is a very big positive for the Saints is that in the offseason, they hired somebody especially for our injuries,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we had so many soft tissue injuries, mm-hmm. and then they piled up into being major injuries. And so the new fellow we have, I don't think it's going to be a hernia mesh thing with sports hernia with Werner. Same thing with Michael Thomas. I think if anything, I think that they're just playing it safe and saying, look, you know what, you can sit out. You know, we'll when we get to the real season, we'll see about it. Plus,
now if you listen to the Beer Run podcast, you'd be very familiar with the magic Bama dust
trademark.
I listen to your podcast. Did you not hear me say that karma's coming your way? Did you not hear me say that?
We tried to ignore that negative part.
Yeah. I heard all about the Bama dust. Yeah,
but the linebacker is going to be fine, man. You know, what's going to be interesting to me is just how they're going to negotiate the roster. You're going to cut a guy and hope you can get him back because you don't expect him to be on the roster. Will Bostic be one of those guys right now, man, in preseason? Again, it's preseason, but he's looked like one of our best linebackers, if not the best linebacker.
Bostic, and I think you keep Bostic and Werner and you IR Werner. It's probably where I'm at because you need Bostic to play. So you got to keep him. You got to keep Werner because you want him for the next 10 years. You kind of got to put them both on the active roster and IR one of them, which is tough because that's going to put people like wide receivers and safeties. That's going to put a lot of people in jeopardy. But
well, just to go into more depth of what
10 years, you can't just risk them right now.
Of what Craig's saying is that they got to put them on the active roster and then
first
IR them. Yeah. And so now you're negotiating that roster to figure out, man, okay, who else can we cut because we don't want to cut? Or do you cut Bostic and hope that he doesn't sign with somebody else? And quite frankly, I remember I used to laugh every time every single person the Saints were going to cut, somebody's going to sign him, and they never got signed. Now the Saints cut guys, and they are immediately picked up by other teams. So I think Bostic is a guy that may not be a starter on another team, but there is another team that can use a guy like him. And the same thing goes with Wilson.
Yeah, I think we keep Wilson. I think we let Bostic go with the idea that once the 53 is done, Werner goes on the IR, and we bring Bostic back. But even if we don't, there's still other kids on that team. Ellis is still a good player. He's not, a great linebacker, but he's solid enough to play. And if you look back at the stats, last year Ellis played a lot of downs.
I don't know if Ellis has any more ankles left.
Caden Ellis can make the team for sure.
Ellis got broken.
And they have a couple. That kid Sewell is going to be in the future. Going to be a really good linebacker. Mm-hmm. He's still a little off, but the Saints like people like Sewell because he has pedigree, right? His brother's a defensive end, and so he's got that in his family, just like Ellis, the same kind of thing. So I think they let Bostic go. Remember, Bostic was still floating out there when the Saints signed him. Right. It wasn't like anybody else had signed him. Mm-hmm. So
he was definitely injury signing. Yeah.
Get to the 53, and we're gonna see a lot of changes because the same thing is gonna happen with Penny. Penny's gonna make the 53, and then he's gonna go on IR. Warner's gonna make the 53. He's gonna go on IR. So there are gonna be some openings that come up afterwards. So,
but in order to do that, there are going to be some guys who have to get we're either going to do a Bostic kind of thing where we cut them and then bring them back, or we're going to keep guys that we would not have otherwise kept, and that means we got to make room with somebody else. And that's when we start looking at, maybe that would be an interesting conversation, is who do we cut that we thought would make the team? Do we go light on wide receiver? Do we go light on running back and hope that one of the the guys that we were thinking was the fourth or the fifth, maybe we could get one of those two guys back?
All right, I will tell you, in my opinion, and I'm just going to give you a little hint of it because I'm saving it for the show, only two quarterbacks on the roster instead of three.
Yeah, for sure.
Only three tight end instead of four, and no fullback.
Okay.
So that's three spots right there.
Fullback. Wow.
I'm just telling you.
I didn't think about that, Tomas. That's I think that you can get away with that. The problem is if you don't, and then now you're trying to find somebody. But not many people even use a fullback anymore. So I think you can get away with cutting him.
And again, remember,
Prentice.
Yeah, Prentice. But and remember that you still have at tight end the Swiss Army blade. So it's not like he can't line up in the backfield, So I think those three positions right there are going to open up for what we need to be able to play the game, you know, of keeping them and then cutting them, you know, keeping them in the IR.
Speaking of the backfield, one thing that surprised me in the game is Kirk Merritt didn't see any snaps at running back. And like the whole week, we have been talking about him working out at running back, but we didn't see any, not one snap. Am I right, Dave?
No. And think about it. I'm sorry. And I'm a show me type of person. I think it was something that they did to see if maybe there was something there to work with. Maybe they saw what they wanted to see or they didn't. But I think that I like that, Craig. That you got to show me how to do that. I think it was something that they were experimenting with, and then everybody went wild with it. Now he's the next Debo Samuels or the next the kid that was on the roster last year. One way or another, he's going to contribute. The Saints are obviously looking for him. That is very distracting, Craig. The wheels have come
off. That wasn't me.
Oh, Tomas. One way or another, I think that they see enough potential in him that they want to keep him around. In one way or another, they're trying to find how they can fit him in.
Okay.
Over to you.
Can you give me your player of the game for this one? Craig?
Oh, yeah. No, it was Penning until he got hurt. Drove us down the field and scored a touchdown while he was hurt. Yeah, okay. Trevor Penning. Yeah, player of the game.
All right. Tomas, what you got?
I'm going to pick a weird one probably for most of you, and that's going to be, I thought Tony Jones Jr. played it. This kid has played hard enough during the preseason. He wants to make this team. So, you know, it's going to be a tough cut at running back, but I think he's going to be one of the running backs who makes the team. You know, so, you know, we'll see.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give my player of the game to Jameis Winston. Because my first time seeing him, I was very excited, and he looked awesome. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you. I was trying to think of something more creative, but quite frankly, to have him come out there with limited reps in preseason, first because of the injury, then because of a secondary injury, he came out, looked sharp, and he's a catalyst for all the excitement that I have right now. Because you can have all the talent in the world. If you don't have a quarterback, you know, it's going to be hard to be successful. He moves the needle, Tomas.
Well, that's what I said, brother. You know, it's only one real guy. You can say many of them can influence the needle, but only one guy can move it, in my opinion. And that's got to be James.
Okay. All right. Well, that's about all the show that we have for you guys week.
Wait, we got one more. We need a worst play of the game sponsored by Dave's loud ass truck.
Oh, that's right.
And my worst play of the game.
I was trying to get out of it.
My worst play of the game is going to be Tre'Quan Smith, because he has one target. He didn't catch it, but he kind of flipped it up and it kind of became the play of the game by Marcus Callaway. So, I mean, you still didn't make the play, Tre'Quan, so you get the worst play of the game.
Dale, the worst thing you can do when you're battling a guy for a roster spot is dive for the ball, get hurt, but in turn, flip it up in the air so that the other guy can run for a touchdown. Yeah,
absolutely.
It doesn't bode well for his roster spot.
So, Bob, who you got?
Yeah, I would say that's probably pretty close. I think that Tre'Quan was not the, but I'll give you another one that I thought, I don't know, it might be just what's going on with the defense right now, but Roby didn't seem to have a very good game.
Oh, yeah. He got burned deep on one play, too. Yeah.
More than one. So I'd say, you know, but he's going to make the team. Definitely he's going to be in a rotation. But
yeah, you know what? There's a part of me that just wonders at when you talk about the third preseason game, a lot of those guys are just they have that just hanging on mentality. Let's just get through this, get this preseason over. Because I don't know if it was a focus thing or whatever. He's had a tremendous camp. So I'm just going to assume that he was just trying to get this thing, you know, get the U-Haul loaded up and get preseason over with. Dale, anything else?
Oh, that is a wrap now.
All right. So now that's all the show that we have for you this week. So for Craig Wright, Dale Mims, and our guest, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Later.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs and beer@icloud.com.